Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, understanding the similarities and the differences in the gospel Jesus preached and the one that he had Paul preach. In our daily morning Bible study this week, we've been going through the first 8 chapters of the book of Matthew. And what a wonderful walk through Scripture it has been. Everything related to the Sermon on the Mount is directly connected to what we call the constitution of the kingdom that will be present during the millennium. One thing that stands out right away is how very different it is from what Jesus commissioned Paul to preach in the book of Acts. You might call it the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God. Matthew 21:43 says this, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you," talking to the Jewish people, "and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." On this episode, they make Bibles with the words of Jesus printed in red so they stand out, but that is perhaps not the best way to present the Lord's gospel. Why would I say that? Because everything that the Apostle Paul taught in what he calls my gospel is also the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, just different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus shows you one gospel on salvation. Paul shows you another one. Jesus says one thing about marriage and divorce. Paul has a different take on it. Jesus shows you people who at one time were believers who lost their salvation. Paul shows you that born-again believers are sealed and can never lose it. Paul's gospel is clearly not the same gospel Jesus preached, but he received it from Jesus, who commanded him to preach it. Are you confused? No need. Many people are who have Bibles with the words rightly dividing removed from it, for in that lies the key to understanding the differences and the similarities in the gospel of Jesus and the gospel of the Apostle Paul. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up today. We thank you for the food on the table, the clothes on our back, and the roof over our head. We're glad, we're grateful to be here, Lord, assembled yet again by way of radio around your open book. And Lord, we pray for your chosen people, the Jewish people, for your nation of Israel, and for your holy city of Jerusalem, the city of the great king. And Lord, there are nothing but wars and rumors of wars. Truly, this is the beginning of sorrows. And Father God, we ask you to meet with us. And if nobody wants you, Lord, we want you. If nobody wants your book, we want your book. If nobody wants your son, Lord, we very much want him here tonight to lead us and guide us into all truth. And Father God, we just commit this time to you and everything that is said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good evening, everybody. We had a lot of excitement yesterday, and the nation of Israel, wow, they just never have a moment's peace. And tomorrow on the podcast, we're going to be talking about this in some detail, waiting for whatever the news updates are going to be overnight tonight. But earlier today, and we got home after church, I didn't preach today because we had a missionary in from Guatemala. It was the Dinsmore family from Guatemala. And Lori and I really enjoyed meeting with them and spending time with them. They are the ones that led the service this morning as they presented their ministry. And Bethany Baptist Church has been supporting them for the last 18 years. And believe me when I tell you that the work that God has called them to do in Guatemala, it is the real deal. They are the real deal. And Lori and I were talking about supporting a very special project that they have going on. And I'm going to talk about that at the top of the hour. And let you, that's at 8 o'clock, and let you know what the Lord has put on our heart and how we might assist them in this great work that they are doing in Guatemala. In the meantime, the nation of Israel, and they intercepted 99% of all the drones and bombs and missiles that were dropped on them last night. And I got to thinking about it, and I wrote an article with this headline earlier today. Bibi, if you were waiting for the perfect time to justifiably take out the Iranian nuclear bomb program, your moment to strike is right now. And I said this in the article. The entire world for about 6 hours was focused on the nation of Israel in one accord. Astonished first at all the bombs dropping on Israel, and then flabbergasted at how well Iron Dome, David Sling, and the Arrow Defense System batted down 99% of everything. Props to the U.S. and Jordan for helping out as well. But while the world watched Iran attack Israel, in the back of everybody's mind was the thought that if Iran ever gets a nuclear bomb, they will absolutely use it against the Jewish state. So, Bibi, and I wrote this in the article, if you are reading this right now, now is the time that you've waited for to take out the Iranian nuclear weapons capability. Rather than causing it, this action would go a long way towards delaying World War III. And I said, do it now. While last night is fresh in everybody's mind and the global community will understand and support you, wait 6 months or even less and your moment will be gone, maybe forever. And I quoted Psalm 25:22, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. You know, the Bible says that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Do you want to prosper in your spiritual life? I'm not talking about some charismatic increase of your personal wealth. I'm talking about, would you like to prosper in your spiritual life with the Lord? Then you should be praying for the city of Jerusalem. Why would you want to do that? Well, the Bible says that that is the city of David. It is the city of the great king. And the Bible says this in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 32. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. You want a really good reason to pray for Jerusalem? That's the best reason that I can possibly think of. We're so glad that you're here with us tonight.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is a Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his soulless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my king? Well, my king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explaining him. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Yeah! Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah!
He said, Father, I'll be yours. It's been 3 days since heaven watched their Prince of Glory die. His followers are in mourning, for in the tomb their Savior lies. But at the grave, something is happening. As it screams, I've lost my hope. Angels rise in anticipation, for the sun is coming home, and there he comes, and he's got the blood that he shed on Calvary. And the Father says, well done, my son, this is the last blood I'll ever need. And there he comes, and he's got the blood.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb, are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
washed in the blood of the Lamb. We take the blood very seriously around here. We know what that blood cost. It's salvation is free for you, but it costs God absolutely everything. We read in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. You want to know where that blood came from? Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Where did the church start? Did it start with the commissioning of Paul? No, it did not. Did the church start in the upper room on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? No, it did not. Where does the church of Jesus Christ actually begin? It begins in the very same place where he bought it. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's where the church started. If you have a King James Bible, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If you have the miserable ESV, you know what yours says? In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Completely erasing those three little words, through his blood. Now, let me just give you a couple of quick verses about the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 3, 25 and 26. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say it this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Did you know that God has called us to have faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ? You won't find very many churches that teach that. You won't find very many churches, even Baptist churches, that really have a good handle and understanding on the importance of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If he had just died without shedding the blood, you and I would not be saved, and we would still be in our sins. That blood was the payment. His death was the delivery vehicle to make the payment. Without that shed blood, you and I would have no hope of heaven. But praise the Lord, Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Thank you.
In just a couple of minutes, we're going to go into our time of prayer and praise. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, please post it into the chat room and we will lift it up as a church family.
The preacher got up and said, "Stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone." But that's when he saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. "I need to know before we pray." An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest. Child, have no fear, our God can hear an unspoken request. Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, "Sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand." When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your
hand to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request. Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request.
Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and we pray for lost souls. We pray for Sarah, Eric, Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, in Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, and two great grandbabies. We're praying for Trista and Tara, Trevor, Derek, Adam, Roland Carrier, and their families, my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, my niece, Melissa, and daughter, Christy, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, unsaved Catholic family members of the Bolton family, Jordan Shapiro, David Peck, in the Weirs-Bickey family, Valerie, Marie, Greg Jr., Greg Sr., Jeffrey's children, Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law, Caitlin, grandsons, Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob, unsaved Catholic family members. Connie, three unsaved children. Brandy, unsaved family members. Rita in Colorado, praying for her son Dan. Ron needs to get saved. Spray of Sunshine's children, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Jan praying for her son, David Lacker. Bonnie, five children, 17 grandchildren, 14 great-grandchildren. Barbara, praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Shandell. Nicole Zimmer for her best friend and family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne, praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Beth, Ethan, and Haley. Karen's children, Jason and Tiffany. Grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son, Jody, Mark Sherlock for Savannah and Mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes for Bob and Abby, Junie Grant and their dad. Kathy Hughes' son, Haley, praying for Zane. Lulu, unsaved family members. Miles and his family. Unsaved family members in the Giacomino family. Dawn, praying for David. Paul Caulfield for brother-in-law Frank. Ramona Hayes for daughter Kimberly to be saved and to get sober. And also salvation prayer for grandchildren William, Jason, David, and Amanda and their families. Patrick praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea P. for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam's wife, Shanna, Lori B., Shira Shine, please pray for my children, Scott, Sherry, and Nicole. Lori Ann's grandfather, Irvin, Mark Fennell, Kevin Thompson, praying for his dad, Tim, Steve Graves, Elga, Rob, praying for three children, Max, Olivia, and Mikey, Phyllis T., for her husband, retired Captain Brian A. Robbins, Todd Broom's brother, Thad, Marie's friends, family, Ashley Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie, they're praying for unsaved family members. Joe Russiello for his mom, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen praying for grandsons Braden and Logan. His Grace for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason and Rachel, and Jason and Carrie. Lola's son William and his wife Lindsay, Hannah's mom. Anja, praying for Hanu, John, Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans, praying for his friend Taylor. Viviana, for her brother Javier Reyes. Adam and Katie, for their neighbors Jason, Eddie, and Brian. Loretta Oates, for her sons Kenny and Matthew. Jane, for her son Troy. Julie Lynn, for Katie Ann. Chona, for Estefano Jr., Eugenia, and her kids Maricel and Cherry. And Chona's siblings, Julia and Maria. Chuck Edgerton for his son Jacob and mom Lynette. Samantha praying for Beth, Deborah Hare, unsaved family members. Rita, unsaved family members. Teresa, Lisa, Annabal, Deborah Milton, Hap Nightingale, all with unsaved family members. Don Huff, Claire, Virginia. Norman Merkel for his daughter Kara, granddaughter Ava, son-in-law Stephen Matthews, and Lynette Crew. Henrique Larson for his parents Kygel and Elizabeth, his sister and spouse Ingrid and Frederick, and his mom's Aunt Barrett. Roz for lost family members, Brian needs to get saved, Andrew Whittington, Marisol Barcina for Catholic family members, Rapture 57, unsaved family, Gail praying for Jim. Shirley Meador for her brother and his wife, Eric Brian Huey. For parents Anna and Norillo and other family members. Tony the Carpenter and his son Cole. Kenny B. for unsaved family, Rachel K., Sandra C., Marky Mark. Regina Danner, all with unsaved family. Haley's aunt and family for salvation. Carol from Georgia praying for her sister, cousins, and Aunt Joey. The Breda family, Stacy Bunton for her husband, Rachel Adams, for Kim, Jesse, Angelina, Carrie, Mikey, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley for salvation and sobriety. Mark for his children, Michael, Matthew, Mason, and Michaela. Mitch for his daughters, Rachel and Hannah. The delivery workers that service the bookstore. Jericho for his family, Brenda's husband Paul, Kenny for friends and family, Amanda for Melanie and Peyton, the Muto family, Steph for Michael, Terry for her family, Xavier praying for his mom Reyes, wife Salma, and other family members, Maria Silva for her Jehovah's Witness family in Venezuela, Donna Lynn's children, Shannon Todd, Kaylin, and Jake, Tiffany Brown for her mother-in-law, the La Piana family for salvation for extended family members, Dave Evans for his friend Diana, Sue Duchesne's son Norman, CJ's mom, Shira Shine for Kevin, Michelle, and Lewis, Loretta Watsney's husband and children, Rebecca Lynn for Joel Smith, Shirley praying for Marie, Haley, Patricia, Jaden, Richard, Patricia S., Joshua, Ruby, Gerald, Josiah, Monise, and her husband, Hamid, Marianne Ellie's children, Anne Marie and Christine, and grandchildren, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Oh, I left out her son, John. Tracy and Ralph Wallace for son-in-law Ethan, daughter Shannon, and grandson Caden. Beth Peck's husband David, as well as children Heather and Damien, and her in-laws Barb and Jack. Terry Ewing's daughter Bryn, Teresa M.'s sons James, Frank, and Peter. Jose De La Rosa's mom, Alicia. Patricia T. for her son Adam, stepsisters, and stepmother. Chelsea and Brian Plagman for their son Bryce and girlfriend Eva, Zuzana, Vladimira for her husband Ken and friend Kotka, Steph for her brother Michael, Cassandra for husband Todd and sons Nathan, Andrew, and Sonny, Marie Sim for her ex-husband who is a Mason, and she's also praying for son John, daughter Tracy, and their families. Jean-Paul Mesa for his Catholic mom, Deborah Mack, for John and Brenda. Zach Jeffson's mom and uncle. Katrina, Chelsea P. for Mike T. Mia in Texas for children, Kimberly, Danielle, and AJ. Holly for husband Nick, Rob for friend Eddie. Deborah Mack for her friend Brandy. Char for her mom, Linda for Richard Kitzmiller. Heather W. for daughter Sophia. Carly Hamill says, please pray for my Catholic family in Maine, my Catholic family in California, and my younger Congolese family who are just learning. Angela Moffat for her son, Matthew. Brooke for her best friend, Courtney, and husband, James. Veronica Higginbotham. That's not her name anymore, but Corrick. Veronica Corrick. Would like salvation prayer for younger son Gustav. Deborah Mack, I have a brother named Tim. He died at age 30. Please pray for his widow and two sons, and their names are Lisa, Kale, and Dane. All right, that's a lot of names on the salvation list. People who need a healing tonight. Lori Ann's mom, Joyce, battling cancer and chemo. That's my mother-in-law. Cher for her grandson's girlfriend's mother, Ruby, with a brain aneurysm. Steve said, my granddaughter's husband, Austin, with a type of bone cancer. Paul Caulfield has type 1 sugar diabetes. Peggy Caulfield has vasculitis. Gail has an unspoken, the Lord knows the need. Also, Gail is not feeling well this weekend. Gail, who works at the bookstore. Please pray for her to have a full recovery. She was definitely not feeling well yesterday, and we pray that she gets better soon. Daniel in Australia, mental health issues. Alicia in Poland, mental health issues. Stephanie would like prayer for her husband's battle with alcohol and for his salvation. Julie, please pray for me and my family. We're under spiritual attack. Julie Baird, please pray for my Aunt Dee, who has COVID pneumonia and a blockage in her intestines. Our friend Krista, battling breast cancer. Gail, please pray for Katie. She needs a liver transplant. Rick Reynolds, please pray for my daughters, Carrie, Abby, and Grace, and grandbaby, Lilia. Amanda Emaw, battling cancer and chemo. Annetta, for a full recovery after having a stroke. My own brother, Jimmy, was released from the hospital last week, and he is home and he is doing much better. Thank you, everybody, for praying for his recovery. And now, please pray that all the gospel that he was given while he was sick in the hospital all those months will take root. James Rivette, He's looking for work. George H. has health issues. Annetta had a stroke, and we're praying for a full recovery. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis. Robert Wiley has ALS. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp, autism. Dan Kane, his wife Roxy with MS, and he also wants prayer for son Jonathan. Rob's friend Mike with MS. Ida Karulik has cancer. Mark Seals for numerous health issues. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia, and her daughter Michelle has neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Tracy has severe arthritis in her spine, diabetes type 2, and fatty liver. Michelle Christian has bone cancer. Rob Beatty is battling stage 4 liver cancer. Melissa B's husband Brian, stage 3 kidney disease. Ricky Gouda needs prayer for her eyesight. KC is a woman with lupus and kidney issues. Jane, please pray for my parents and brother to get saved and for my husband to have a healing. Jackie H. asking prayer for God's favor regarding her ex and custody of her son. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has vasculitis. Stacy going through a divorce. Pray both she and her husband get right with the Lord. Terry Horn has had several strokes and now needs a walker. Another lady named Casey says, please keep my husband on the list. He is unsaved and a severe alcoholic. Tom Rance is recovering after having a stroke and a brain bleed. Kathy Heald is recovering from eye surgery. Her husband Robert and Aunt Linda both have macular degeneration. Wayne needs prayer for cancer. Teresa G. has macular degeneration. Linda Benjamin needs prayer for overall health and memory problems. Berta and Mike Crabb having health issues, and it was so good seeing them in the chat room yesterday. Irma needs prayer for a healing. She has tumors on her bladder. Ladies who are expecting, Char's daughter Miranda in about 2 weeks. Sandra Carbonera's friend Jordan P. gave birth to little baby Megan, who was a preemie, and we're continuing to pray for her. Stephanie Juliana, Sarah Ann Severson, spray of sunshine. Please pray for my son and his girlfriend who are expecting twins. Jose and Anna De La Rosa expecting their third child. Mark Saxa, please pray for my son Joseph to return to the Lord. John Walker and his wife for their gospel track ministry. In the Lacker family, please pray for her children, her husband, their marriage, and for her healing. Julie Baird, living situation and finances. Deborah Mack for Devin Miller. Lost Lake Lass for her son Tristan. He went missing. Linda, please pray for my children, Stephen, Danielle, and Christopher, to return to the Lord. Dina says, please pray for my son Jordan. He is in Japan until May. Pray for his safety and salvation. People with an unspoken. Dave M., Jeanette, Adrian P. Breda, Debbie Mathias, Julius, Dave Evans, Ricky Gouda, Blaine, Jennifer, Carol from Georgia, Ron M., Erad Bairu Mumishu. I think I'm going to take him off the list because he told me, I think, that that prayer was answered. Bonnie, Marie Comfort, Rob, Steph, Marie C., Mona and Leah, Angela, Brooke, Lulu, Linda Pippin, Andrew, and Lorianne. Please remember our free Bible and Gospel Track program. In the Philippines, our pastors, John Redani and Arnell. In Vietnam, Pastor Pho John. In Turkey, Luann is an American missionary to the Muslims. In India, Pastor David Mark. In the UK, Stephen McCarroll. In Uganda, Erad Bairu Mumishu. And in Spain, we have Xavier. Please remember our NTEB street preachers. In New York City, Brian Kelly of the King James Bible Baptist Church, Kyle and Reagan Gorzel, Marie in Philadelphia, Mike Avram, Jay. In New York City, Joe Ruscello in Eagle Pass, Texas, Joshua Gaskins in Virginia, and Aaron and Teresa McMahon in Tennessee. Up in Canada, we have Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian P. Breda, and Werner Bukes. In South Africa, we have Arthur Uwies, and in Australia, we have Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. All right, let's go to the chat room tonight. Praise report from Jill Hall. Grant is doing better after being in ICU from ketoacidosis. He will be attending a Bible-believing church near his home tonight. Prayers that he will feel welcomed and that he will be able to grow there and get discipled. Amen. Heath, please pray for me. I'm in a bad place, but spiritually and physically, just going to quietly listen. Amen. Daniel, please put JC on our prayer list. She is the 13-year-old daughter of our son's best friend. She was airlifted yesterday from the local hospital in the Keys to the ICU of Florida's Children's Hospital, Miami. She has septicemia and severe bilateral pneumonia. That means she has it in both lungs. The family are believers, but Catholic, not sure if saved. Thank you. You are welcome. Happy to pray for that. Juanita, praise and very thankful daughter got accepted into school. Amen. Char, prayer for Jimmy's nephew David was in critical condition after being shot, but he is expected to pull through. Please pray for the salvation of David and his family. Jeanette, I am still needing a caregiver. Lulu, many unspokens. Juanita, please pray for Cliff. Steve, my granddaughter's husband had a biopsy 12 days ago. Please pray for a good report. Karen says, please pray for my biopsy to come back negative. A lot of prayers tonight. Heavenly Father, we lift up all these prayers, great and small, before you, and we ask you to work and move as only you can. And Lord, for everybody who needs a healing, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, we ask you to work and move. You are the great physician. And Lord, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. If you don't give it to us, we're not going to have it. And we confess our complete dependence upon you. And Lord, hear and receive every one of these prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts. And Lord, do something with it. Answer every one of these prayers for your glory, for our good. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. One or possibly two quick songs. I'm going to catch my breath. And we're going to get right into tonight's Bible study. If you're just tuning in, a hot topic tonight: understanding the similarities and the differences in the gospel Jesus preached and the one that he had Paul preached. We say it many times, we'll say it again. We are not a church, we are the church. Welcome to church.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us, it's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you and me. So blinded by ourselves,
are perfect. We're battered, bruised, and flawed. Each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love. Our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church. I am a part. Its doors are open. Come as you are. We know no boundaries. There are no stars. If you are broken, come see God's heart. If you
Let's get started with our Bible study tonight, and hope you're in the mood for a good one, because we got it. It's a hot topic, understanding the similarities and differences in the gospel that Jesus preached and the one that he had Paul preach. Heavenly Father, be with me as I preach and teach your word, and lead us and guide us into all truth, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a couple of questions in the chat room about the Sunday service. We are working to present a live video Sunday service, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, from Bethany Baptist Church in St. Augustine. And we are working as fast as we possibly can to get that set up. There was no video today because I didn't preach today. We had a missionary and his family in from Guatemala. And I just want to talk for a minute about the Dinsmore family. And they have been laboring on the mission field of Guatemala for about 14 or 15 years. And they are doing an amazing work over there. And the Lord put on my heart and on Lori's heart today when they were presenting the work that they do. And they have raised enough money to build two new classrooms, but they need help with everything that goes in the classroom, like the tables and the chairs and the books and things of that nature. And I asked him, how much would it cost? How much would it cost to assist them with that? And they said that they have a need. They are attempting to raise $5,000 for these two classrooms in Guatemala. And I told him that I would put this before our people. And I'm going to write about it tomorrow. I didn't have time to write about it today. And when I write about it, I'm going to tell you more about their ministry. But they are doing an amazing work in a country that is filled with paganism and animism and unbelievable things that they have to deal with over there. And I am hoping that we will be able to raise the $5,000 to help them finish these two classrooms. They raised $17,000 to build the classrooms, and that was great. But now they need help to fill the classrooms with desks and tables and chairs and books and clocks and towels and all the different things that would go with two classrooms and two bathrooms. So I'm going to be writing about that hopefully tomorrow. But if you think it's a good idea to help support this missionary family in Guatemala who are really getting something done over there, just let me know in the chat room what everybody thinks about that. I am hoping that we can do it. I really want to help them. Lori really wants to help them. And what a great thing that it would be to help this missionary family open up two Christian classrooms in Guatemala. And I like how the Lord is always bringing new stuff in front of us. He's always opening up new doors and new avenues of opportunity. So you guys think about that and pray about that. And let me know if you think it's a good idea to help a Christian school in Guatemala open up two new classrooms to train young boys and young girls in Bible study. I think it's a great idea, and they need $5,000 to get that done. That again, we'll be talking about that during the week. But just let me know in the chat room what your thoughts and your feelings are about that. Second thing is, Shannon asked a question: am I the pastor of Bethany Baptist Church? And the answer is, well, no and yes. I was not voted in to be the pastor. I am the interim preacher, but it is impossible to be an interim preacher without operating as a pastor. So I have not formally been voted in, but am I pastoring that church? Well, yeah. I'm the main preacher. I preach every service. And so that makes me the pastor by default. But was I voted in? No. I was voted in to be the preacher. I was not voted in to be the pastor, at least not yet. So I hope that that clarifies that for you. One more thing. There is a book that I highly recommend if you haven't gotten it. Many of you have, but if you have not gotten this book written by Dr. Peter S. Ruckman called The Sure Word of Prophecy, highly recommend that you go to the bookstore, that's BibleBeliever.com, and get yourself a copy of The Sure Word of Prophecy. And this is all about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. I think it is one of the most clear explanations about the differences between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God that I have ever read. I have been reading it for decades, and it is one of my favorite Bible commentary books. And you can go to BibleBeliever.com and get yourself a copy of this book for only $14.95. And I highly recommend that you do. Dr. Ruckman takes a very complex topic and he makes it rather simple to understand. That is The Sure Word of Prophecy by Dr. Ruckman. And you can get that at BibleBeliever.com. And with that, let's get started with our Bible study tonight, understanding the similarities and the differences in the gospel that Jesus preached and the one that he had Paul preach. And I told you at the start of this Bible study that if you have ever read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and if you have ever read the epistles of the Apostle Paul, then you know that there are some apparent contradictions that are pretty bad. For example, let me give you a really good contradiction that is really kind of stunning. Turn to, well, there's a couple places we can turn. Matthew 8:12. And this was when Lori and I do our morning Bible study. For the past couple of days, we've been in the first 9 chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. And I was talking with her earlier, and I said, what would be a really good topic for Bible study tonight? And she said, well, our Bible study this morning was really pretty good. Let's talk about that. And I agree, that's a good idea. And in Matthew 8:12, actually, Matthew 8:10-12. Matthew 8:10-12. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, he's talking about the Jewish people in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, keep your finger in Matthew chapter 8 and turn to Romans chapter 8. And I want to show you something that the Apostle Paul wrote. And these are verses that have been very comforting to me over the years. Romans chapter 8. Let's start reading in verse 31, and we're going to go all the way down to the bottom. Let me get a sip of my iced tea here. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to go from 31 to 39. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's a good question. That's a good statement. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, go back to Matthew 8:12. What does Jesus say about the children of the kingdom? But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me give you another one. Matthew 25. Turn to Matthew 25. And look down in verse... Oh, this is a hard one. This is a hard one. Matthew 25:29-30. Matthew 25:29-30. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Turn to Romans chapter 7. And let's look at verses 23 through 25. Romans 7:23. Paul says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Watch out, Paul. You're going to be cast into outer darkness. You're going to have weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because you didn't endure until the end. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And look at what Paul says. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to show you why the Apostle Paul had a very different gospel from the gospel that I've been reading to you in Matthew and Mark and Luke. They are not the same. There is no way you can make them the same. Do they have some overlapping similarities? They do. Are they the same gospel? No. Do they function the same? No. Are the rules the same? No. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look in starting in verse 10 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And I've always thought of that as a pre-trib rapture reference. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verses 9 through 14. 9 through 14. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He's talking about believers in the tribulation. And then, shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel, which gospel? And this gospel of the kingdom, which kingdom? Shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So I want you to focus on verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The Apostle Paul says we are sealed unto the day of redemption. If you were sealed unto the day of redemption, you wouldn't need to endure unto the end. For example, let's just say that you invited me to take a ride with you in your open-air car, and you wanted to go through the Siberian wilderness, which is about 50 degrees below zero, with wind and rain and sleet and hail and snow. Let me just paint that picture for you. Can you imagine what it would be like traveling at slow speed through a brutal winter storm in the Siberian wilderness in an open-air car? How do you make it through that trip? Well, you have to endure to the end of that trip. You have to find some way to stay warm, some way to avoid frostbite, some way to avoid from dying of exposure to the extreme cold. You would have to endure until the end of that trip, or you would simply freeze to death halfway through. That's the gospel that Jesus is talking about. You are going through the Siberian wilderness in an open-air vehicle at slow speed. It is up to you to endure to the end. The gospel that Paul's talking about, you're going through the same Siberian wilderness, but now you are in a vehicle that has doors and windows and a windshield and a roof and a bottom and seats and insulation. It has a heater that is working properly. And you are just enjoying the ride and marveling at the beauty of the winter scenery. Now, obviously, I painted a very extreme portrait. But do you get the idea? When Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 24 that you have to endure until the end, he means it. And if you don't endure until the end, you're not saved. But Paul preaches a gospel where when you believe, you become sealed unto the day of redemption. So these two gospels are not the same. And there are many, many other differences, but I want to change topics for a moment. In that book that I told you to get by Dr. Ruckman called The Sure Word of Prophecy, it talks about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Now, they are not the same. They are not spelled the same. Heaven is not God. God is not heaven. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And the kingdom of heaven, and we've talked about this many, many times, the kingdom of heaven is a literal, visible, physical, earthly kingdom from which Jesus, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is going to rule and reign from the throne of David. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 32. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Zechariah 12 through 14. And all these other different places. The kingdom of heaven is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Matthew 3, verse 2, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Why would the kingdom of heaven be at hand? Because Jesus was there. He was literally, physically, visibly walking in front of them. Matthew 4, 17. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5:19. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." How about this one, the very next verse? Matthew 5:20. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, Have you ever read anything by the Apostle Paul where Paul talks about righteousness? Is it your righteousness that got you saved? Or is it the righteousness of God? Turn to Romans 3:22. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Look at verse 25 of Romans chapter 3. Romans 3:25. Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Let me give you one more. Just looking for one really, really, really good one. Hold on. I have far too many to choose from here. Hold on. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so Jesus is talking about that your righteousness in Matthew 5:20 had better be more than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And what does Paul say? He says that if you're saved, if you have believed, and you are sealed unto the day of redemption, then you have the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue to set the table for our look tonight at the differences in the gospel that Jesus preached and the gospel that he had Paul preach. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mark 1:14 and 15. Mark 1:14 and 15. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, it is very true that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is preaching about the kingdom of heaven, which is a literal, visible, physical, earthly kingdom over which he is going to reign as king from the throne of David. And he is also preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. How do I know that? Turn to Romans 14. Turn to Romans chapter 14. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And turn to Acts chapter 28. Turn to Acts chapter 28. And I want to show you the gospel that Paul preached. He preached the kingdom of God. He did not preach the kingdom of heaven. Acts 28:23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and she should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And look at this little prophecy that Jesus makes in the Gospel of Matthew that nobody ever pays attention to. They just go right past it. But look in Matthew chapter 21. Verse 42. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. He is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He is talking to the unbelieving Jewish people that are present among him. And this is what he says in verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now that's all over the Old Testament. That's in Daniel, that's in Isaiah. That is all over the place in the Old Testament. But look at verse 43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. The kingdom of heaven is a literal, visible, physical, earthly kingdom. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Turn to John chapter 3. Turn to John chapter 3. One of the most ignored commandments of the Lord, and one of the few commandments that is given to us. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he says, Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. It is not a suggestion. It is not a new religion. It is not a denomination. It is not some sort of an idea that Jesus hopes that we adopt this. He says, you must be born again. And what happens if you're not born again? You wind up in hell. That's what happens. So there was a split that Jesus prophesied about in Matthew 21. He said, the day is coming. He's talking to the Jewish people. The day is coming where I'm going to take the kingdom of God, where you're going to be sealed unto the day of redemption, and I'm going to take it from you, and I'm going to leave you with the kingdom of heaven, where it's based on your righteousness and you enduring until the end. And that's not just a statement that Jesus makes. That's a prophecy that was fulfilled in the end of Acts chapter 7 and confirmed in the end of Acts chapter 28. When we come back, now that we have, I believe, successfully set the table for our look at the differences and the similarities in the gospel that Jesus preached and the one that he had the Apostle Paul preached. We'll be right back after this.
I know I've been seen till the day of redemption, and one day Jesus will come and he'll take me away, and forever I'll be in a beautiful mansion, and I'm gonna live with the same.
Yes, I did, and my life was all done. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I have been sealed onto the day of redemption. Are you sealed onto the day of redemption? Well, you are if you've been born again. And in the last half hour, we looked at a whole bunch of things showing you the differences between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Jesus is the king over both those kingdoms. And wherever he is, those kingdoms are present. And in Revelation chapter 19, Jesus brings the kingdom of God with him, and he establishes the kingdom of heaven upon the face of the earth. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he is constantly talking about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Then I showed you in Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, Jesus prophesied about the coming removal of the kingdom of God from the Jewish people because of their perpetual unbelief and disbelief. Matthew 21:43, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." And that was a prophecy that the gospel would go to the Gentiles. And at the end of Acts chapter 7, it absolutely did go to the Gentiles. The very first person that was saved in the church age was the Ethiopian eunuch, who was a Gentile. And in the very next chapter, the apostle Saul becomes the apostle Paul. Now, turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Let's just start reading in verse 6. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." And Paul is talking about something that he calls my gospel. In verse 11, it says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. Why? For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul did not get his gospel from Matthew, Mark, Luke. He didn't get it from John. He didn't get it from any of the apostles or disciples. He got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have read about that many times in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 26. So Paul was given a gospel. What is the gospel? It is good news. Good news for what? Good news for you in your dispensation. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Look at verse 16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." He's writing to the church at Rome. Why doesn't he say our gospel? Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." I ask you again, why does Paul say my gospel and not our gospel? 2 Timothy 2:8. remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul has a very special gospel. Where did he get it? Go back to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we have the very awkward situation. Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is preaching the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and he is offering both these kingdoms to the Jewish people. But guess what? They didn't want them. And so Jesus prophesies in Matthew 21. He says, the kingdom of God is going to be taken from you, and it's going to be given to a nation who is bringing forth the fruits thereof, somebody who is going to appreciate that gospel. You don't get it. And anybody who is a Jew after Acts chapter 7, they have to get saved according to Paul's gospel. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Is that the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke? It is absolutely not the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let me give you a good example. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Go to Matthew chapter 7. And here's a verse that does not apply to any Christian in the last 2,000 years. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 2 and 2 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 through 5. Paul says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. So Jesus says, don't judge. That's the kingdom of heaven. And he says, don't judge unless you want to be judged. Judged by who? The king sitting on the throne, Jesus Christ. What does Paul say? He says, hey, guess what? Don't you know? Hey, don't you know that the saints are going to judge the world? And if that's true, why can't you judge among yourselves? Now, you can clearly see this is not the same gospel. I mean, Right? You can see that this is obviously not the same gospel. But where it gets tough is that the same Jesus who preaches this very different gospel in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is the same person who commissions the Apostle Paul to preach a different gospel. And the words that the Apostle Paul preaches are the words of Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Deborah Mack is asking, does that include us? Do we judge angels? We will. We will judge angels. Keep your finger in Acts chapter 9 and turn to Revelation chapter 5. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. And look at verses 9 and 10. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's where we're going to be judging men and angels. Now, turn to Acts chapter 9. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Let's take a quick look at the commission of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 9. Let's start in verse 11. The Lord is talking to Ananias, and it says in verse 11, And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. This is the commission of the Apostle Paul. Where did Paul get this gospel from that in many respects is very different from the gospel that Jesus preached? Well, if Galatians chapter 1 is true, and it is, he got this gospel, this new gospel, from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, let's look at some ways where Matthew, Mark, and Luke is similar to what Paul preaches. Go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. And it says in verse 24, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat the same spiritual drink, spiritual meat, and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus Christ. So Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is talking about if you build your house upon a rock, then you have done very well. But the problem is, turn to Romans 9:33. The problem is, the Jewish people didn't want the rock. Romans 9:33, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And again, this is an Old Testament verse that percolates all through the Bible. Have you ever been walking up a series of steps, stone steps, and you misjudged? There's this place by where we live. It's a beautiful park, and it has a lot of gullies and ravines and a couple of miles of walking trails, and it has these old stone steps from the 1920s. And this past Saturday, yesterday, we took a walk through this park and up and down on these stone steps. Now, there's no handrail. The stone steps are not the same height. They're not all even. And it is very, very easy to do as I did and to stumble on one of those stones. And what happens? You trip. You twist your ankle, you fall down. What is that? That is a stumbling stone. Who is Jesus Christ to the Jewish people in 2024? He is a rock of offense. He is a stumbling stone. Who is Jesus Christ to me and you? He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is our Savior. He is our advocate. He is our great physician. He is our high priest. He is our all in all. He is our everything. He is our absolutely everything. We did not stumble at that stone because we became born again in the kingdom of God. The Jewish people don't want the kingdom of God. They want simply the kingdom of heaven. And they don't want to be ruled by somebody that they don't want to have tell them what to do. And that's why there is such problem in the nation of Israel today. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Let me give you one more similarity. Matthew chapter 8, look at verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Why? Because he had no certain dwelling place, the Bible says. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, showing you some of the similarities. Jesus said that he didn't have a home to lay his head in. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. You know what they said about Jesus? Being reviled, he reviled not again. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world. Jesus was called a thief. He was buried between two thieves. And he was crucified between two thieves, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Paul says, verse 13, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this present day. So, did Jesus preach the same gospel that Paul preached? Well, no. Are there some similarities? Yes, there are. But fundamentally, Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you have a ESV Bible, which right now is the most popular Bible that there is right now, 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Handling is not dividing. Dividing is a specific action. Every time you read the Bible, you handle the scripture. That is not the same as rightly dividing the scripture. And the ESV has removed it. So you don't have that instruction. Well, what about the NIV? The NIV says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Every time you pick up the Bible, you are handling it. That is not the same as dividing it and not the same as rightly dividing it. All right, let's give John MacArthur a shot. How about 2 Timothy 2:15 with the Legacy Standard Bible? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So, this is one of the many reasons why we stick with the King James Bible to the exclusion of all others. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Every other version erases that and replaces it with inane statements like, do your best to present yourself unto God. Is doing your best the same as studying? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you remember when you were in grade school? And maybe you were in high school, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade? Do you remember when your teacher gave you homework? Did your teacher say, well, you know what? I have an idea what I'd like to see you do. But I understand you have challenges and issues. Instead of doing the homework, why don't you just do your best? Just do the best you can. Were you ever graded like that? I don't know about you, but I was never graded like that. My teacher said, here's the homework, and you do it, or you're going to fail. How about this from the Message Bible? 2 Timothy 2:15, concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of, laying out the truth plain and simple. This version is so bad that it's not even saying to do your best. It's saying concentrate on doing your best. Think about it. You don't actually have to do it. So, why are so many people confused about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? Why are so many people confused about the gospel that Jesus preached and the gospel that Paul calls my gospel that is quite different than the gospel that Jesus preached? Why is there so much confusion? Because you have a Bible that has taken out the one command given to Christians in the New Testament from our apostle telling us to study the Bible and rightly divide what we read. You know what it means when somebody says, here, I got some stuff I want you to rightly divide. Well, there's got to be divisions. Paul is saying, if you want to understand this book, you have to study it. And then you have to rightly divide it and you have to know where the divisions are. But we live in a world that is filled with Bibles that have removed that commandment of our apostle to study the word of God and to rightly divide what we read. Now, we haven't done this in a while. We'll do it again tonight. If you have an ESV, an NIV, A Message Bible, the Cipher Bible, John MacArthur's Legacy Standard Bible. If you have any one of these modern version Bibles, I want you to get up right now and walk over to your recycle bin or your trash can. And I want you to take your ESV, NIV, Revised Version, the Cipher Bible, the Legacy Standard Bible, the Message Bible, Good News for Modern Man. I want you to take it and I want you to throw it in the garbage. And then if you'll go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the link that says free, we will replace the Bible that you just threw in the garbage. We will replace it, no strings attached. We will replace it with a Ruckman Reference Study Bible completely for free. We have been doing this King James Bible Challenge for 4 years now. And we have given away thousands and thousands of free King James Ruckman Reference Bibles to people across America and around the world. It is called our free Bible program. And if you will get up right now and take your Message Bible, Cipher Bible, Legacy Bible, NIV, ESV, and throw it in the garbage. And go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the link that says free, and we'll send you one at no charge. And we'll give you God's preserved word completely for free. And with that, we have come to the end of our time for today. I hope this study was a blessing to you. I know it was a blessing to us, and we love to bring you these programs as we have done over the past 13 or 14 years, and we are so glad and grateful that you have chosen to be a part of the NTEB family of Bible believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern time for another NTEB Prophecy News podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, how I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to oh. too.